Yeah, there's a. I've been quite fortunate, all right, in the treatment. The type I have can be. Oh, hell, I know what's the matter. The squawk box is on.
Well, when you turn it off, can I get it?
Yeah, well, no, I'm good.
That's where all the noise
is. That's where the noise is coming from.
Oh, that's really got Hazel worried.
Well, Tim, you were in the legislature here a couple of terms, too.
One term. Yeah. See, that's, I was 50, wasn't it?
Who was governor then?
Greening.
Oh, you were under Greening. Yeah. You must have known Governor Greening well.
I did, yes. In fact, he honored me by mentioned what.
Did he mention you in his book?
Yeah.
What is the latest book? The Great
Battle.
Greatest Battle.
Yeah, something like that.
Or Great Battles. Yeah, that's a good book. He is a marvelous writer. Yes. Brilliant.
He was really good. Eh?
Brilliant man.
Because he and I are, you might say, are opposite parties, and we don't think alike, but you've got to give him credit for being one hell of a good man.
Oh, yeah. Terrific life that he had, and productive.
Say, you get him up and tell me, I want a 1-hour dissertation on the qualifications of the polls for... what have you, and he'll give you the damnedest talk you've ever heard, and it'll be authentic.
I was so glad when he had his autograph party there in Fairbanks that I went, because he died shortly afterwards, but it was about a year ago, before Christmas. Mm-hmm. And he was awfully frail then, but his mind was... You know, people come up and he talked to them, and his mind was just perfect.
Yeah,
I think he's one of the smartest men that, as far as I'm concerned, ever hit the stage.
Yeah, I agree with
you. He can remember names. He always call you by name.
Speaking of remembering names, Governor Parks is an amazing man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I visited with him again this morning for a little while. He is really something.
Yeah, we got to go up and call on him. Oh, at least twice a week, 3 times a week.
I think he looks forward to that.
Yeah.
When you come up. How long have you known him?
Oh, golly. Damn near since he came to the territory. But, you know, at that time he was... we were in the interior and he was out here. Well, I'd say... 19, well, now he's lived in the McKinnon apartments for 41 years. So.
41 years?
Yeah. Ever since he went out as governor, yeah.
He was the first one in there, wasn't he?
He was the first governor to occupy the
governor's mansion.
Capitol building.
Capitol building.
Yeah, but you left the squawk box on.
Yeah.
That's where the noises were coming from.
He's only here slipping.
Sometimes I wish I didn't own your thing.
Really? No, we've...
I had a nice walk around the block.
Actually, when George was first governor, though we'd known him a long time before then, I was shortly after I had resigned from the Navy, and I had all my uniforms and all that stuff. And that's when all the German ships and the English ships and what kind of ships that you'd have came in here. And he called me, he said, "Sim, what in hell do I do now?" And then I told him, "You do this and you do that, and when they'll play the colors and you do this and..." So on. He said, "Come on. You come with me." I said, "Tell you what to do, George. I got all my old uniforms. I'll be your naval aide." So that's how that damn thing started in, you see.
You were helping him on protocol.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's right. On
greeting
yeah.
the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see.
Yes, the...
Well, I talked to him in the spring when I came down. I didn't even know he was still living. And someone said, well, why don't you stop and see Governor Park? So I went up there and had a real nice visit with him. I think he told me he came in 1907 or 1908.
Somewhere around there. No, I can't remember.
As I recall, wasn't he in... He graduated in mining engineering.
That's right.
And he came up, and I think he said it was 1907. Of course, I may be wrong. But then he went into Canada, into B.C., or over into Atlin, perhaps.
I wouldn't know, because I know then he came here, and he got to be the head of the cadastral survey. I think he's covered every foot of ground in the state by foot.
But when you mentioned a little while ago Kodiak.
Yeah.
When I was talking with him before we came down to visit with you, he said that he remembered going over to Kodiak, and Warren Taylor was over there.
Yeah, I know.
And he said that Warren Taylor and someone else, I forget the name, had some property over there, and Governor Parks, well, he wasn't governor then, but he went over to issue the patent for the city of Kodiak.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what Warren Taylor was doing over there at that time.
He was an attorney.
At that time?
Was he? No.
He was commissioner.
I think he was, yeah.
Yeah.
US
That's where he met his wife and got married there.
Which wife?
The one, they're divorced now.
The
real estate gal. Yeah.
Oh, Gridel Lee?
Gridel Lee, right.
Well,
you got rid of her?
Oh, it's long ago.
Yeah, they were, I went to their wedding reception in Fairbanks, but quite by mistake. We were a bunch of us, some of us had come down from Barrow, and we went out to the old rendezvous there, the old rendezvous club out of Fairbanks, when Warren Taylor and Gridel Lee were married. And I remember very well, they were celebrating having their wedding reception out there.
When
it was
you
about
know,
1950 or 51.
Right around there.
But he was married before that.
Yeah, his son.
His son
is
a judge now.
He's the presiding Superior Court judge now in Fairbanks. Warren William Jr. Mm-hmm. He's the presiding judge.
At that time, he was U.S. When he was out there when I first came out there, he was U.S. commissioner there.
At Kodiak.
Yeah.
I see.
And the other,
he's an old railroad man from Cordova, too.
Yeah, that's where
he told me one time that he learned the law he was working as a brakeman and I guess a fireman on the
court by court law.
Yeah.
And he read the law and got his education by correspondence by reading the books.
Yeah,
and he passed the bar.
Didn't he have some line girls?
Sig Wold knew and knows him real well.
Yeah.
Even they were down in Cordova at the time.
Yeah. If you ever want to have fun, ask Sig Wold about his transfer business over at Chittenden. Have you ever that?
Yeah.
He had one truck, and he used it for hauling ice and honey buckets both.
Combination.
He used to haul ice to the restaurants and to I guess they had a couple of houses in the red light district or something, but it did it. Sig told me that story one time a long time ago. When he was King Regent, I guess. He was telling me about it. He'd take it down in the morning and scrub it down and then put hay over it, and then he'd haul the ice and then finish that, then he'd go on his honey bucket rounds.
Yeah, he had a taxi cab in Cordova, too.
Sig did.
Yeah.
He did. Oh, my God.
No, not when I was there, no. You probably knew Bart Gillespie then.
I just got a letter from Bart Gillespie.
The devil you
did. I did. I really did.
Say, listen here, if I'm delighted to know that he's still living.
You mean Dr. Gillespie?
No.
Bart Gillespie.
Bart Gillespie. Yeah. He was a captain in the Navy.
In the Navy,
Seabees. Pet 4.
Yeah.
I was telling you earlier that my husband joined the Seabees.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to get in the Seabees and go up to Pet 4 and when they were going in there in 44 to start exploring. Mm-hmm. And Bart Gillespie was up there at the time. But this August was the 30th anniversary of that. So I used to work for the newspaper there in Fairbanks, and I belonged to the Pioneers and the Historical Society, and I thought, I knew the newspaper wasn't going to do anything on it, so I wrote to the Navy historian, and I got to John Reed. I don't know if you ever met John Reed. He was up there with the CBs. Anyway, I went to a lot of trouble to get some background and history on the CBs. And I wrote it up for the paper in Fairbanks. Three different articles.
Yeah.
And somebody in Anchorage sent them to Bart Gillespie in California. So I got a letter from him. And he had given them to the newspaper down there, and they had done a story on it. Yeah, I'll certainly mention that.
In other words,
well, I just want to get my purse so I can write down your mailing address, and I'll just write to Barton. Mm-hmm. Where did you know him?
Oh, hell, I was his commanding officer, you might say.
Yeah.
No, he was a CB, and I would happen to be in the I knew him out in... In fact, I had a great deal to do with him when he was up there.
Well, that's right. He was over in...
He was over in the islands. Yeah.
And then he was a commander in the Navy, and then they decided to go up north, and since he had petroleum... He had a petroleum background. I think he was a petroleum engineer. That's how he got...
Yeah.
Yeah. Come to think about it, he was over in the...
He came in to see me, and I'll never forget. He came in, he had this little bottle of oil from someplace back there. And, oh, golly, he raved about it, and he rubbed it in his hand.
Isn't that just crude oil?
Yeah, but my God, it stunk like hell to me.
But to him, it smelled like perfume
of the
petroleum engineer. What's your mailing address here?
I saw a girl do that, tear it out of the back of her checkbook. She doesn't use them all, and she used it to give somebody a quick address. So.
Yeah, good.
Copied her idea.
You have a copy of the Southeastern of your write up here?
Yeah.
I wonder if Mike would like that.
Yeah, I told her about it, and she's.
Yeah, I got you. Thanks to the McKinnon Apartments.
No, we
but not to Anna. I think Anna disappeared six of them.
Oh,
I could write to Lou Williams and
Why don't you get a copy? It's a wonderful write-up.
I haven't got anybody. So I sent it to my only three living cousins, and they live together, and they can share it.
Oh, okay.
So I have spares.
Well, I'll tell you, I have one copy at home. You can have Hazel.
I thought you gave it to Parks. I thought you gave it to Parks.
No, I didn't. I've got one copy.
It's scattered all through the darn thing in four pages.
It's a wonderful write-up.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Okay. It begins, it ends on page 33.
It's very thorough.
The funny part of it is we look like cold Goldust twins. I had a red flannel shirt on, and he had a red flannel shirt on. And it wasn't planned that way.
It was real cute.
We didn't realize he was interviewing us, really. Because he played with Skip Lou Williams.
He interviewed you.
Yeah, he wanted to come up and see us, and I said, well, sure, we're always home. And we didn't say he was going to interview us, but he sat here and gabbed for about 2 hours. I noticed he was scribbling down things, but I didn't know.
That's young Williams.
We'd known him since he was just a kid.
Well, was Bart Gillespie stationed out on the chain?
Yeah, he was out in this chain, and so he was for a while. And I'm trying to think of... God, wasn't he that too?
I just don't know. I don't know.
Well, I can't remember.
Well, I'll send you his address. Yeah.
No. I know, because he used to come in and see me all the time.
I'll drop him a note when I get back to Fairbanks. I'll just drop him a note and tell him that I visited with you and ask about him, and maybe then I'll give him your address.
Yeah. Bart was then it was Admiral Wood, who was a great big pain in the neck as far as I was concerned, but his nephew.
It looks like Truman.
he had this, his nephew as his flag lieutenant. Well, all I was doing is just watching my step every time you turn around, because this kid trying to do his best for his uncle, doing things that just the book says you can't do it. And I came in one day, and he said, "Oh, he's got it all fixed up. Got it all fixed up." I said, "Yeah, what's that now?" "Oh," he says, I got this kid to volunteer to wash the old man's clothes." "My God, man," I said, "don't you know you can't do that? Even as a volunteer." And then I broke the damn book out and showed him where you cannot have him as personal servants or any other damn thing. If it's a Filipino, a Mexican, yeah, that's different. But not a regulation line sailor.
It's okay for the Filipinos,
though. Yeah, you call them. "I want the Marines to come out and get, have them all armed with 22s, and they're to shoot that goddamn crow." The sailors had a crow, you see, a pet crow. And the darn thing would land on your shoulder or something like that, you know. And you had to be damn careful, because he'd pick your ear and, God, he'd draw blood. If those damn bright insignias on your claps, caps, he'd always grab them. And this morning I was colder than the devil, and we had a long walk around in Finger Bay. We had a long walk around from our office to our residence to the office. And here came this crow. And I knew all about the darn kids with this crow. And I just held out my hand this way. And boy, he just grabbed that, and the back of my hand and drew blood. And I shook him off. And he made one swipe past the damn cap and signature of various kinds. Away went my hat. Well, it went right straight down to the water. Oh, and no road. And I, running gush, I had about $5 worth of insignia. And that wasn't the cost of it so damn much as I couldn't get another one. So I went chasing after this damn bird. And finally he got about, halfway down the hill. And he went to change his grip on the hat and
lost it,
and by the time he got down to it again, I was down there, and I got it back, and so I went back up to the office. And I went in, and I'm looking through the papers and stuff, and finally I heard this fella, Marine, call the Marines out, and 22s, and kill that goddamn crow. And what, Bill, I said, "You can't do that." I said, God knows it's bad enough here for sailors here. There's no entertainment of any kind. No, they've made a pet out of that darn animal. And they have fun with him. And you can't do that. Well, he said, "That so-and-so." He said, old Woods, who was a stuffed shirt at best, he was the next one along the walk after me. And this damn crow went took his hat off, and away it went. So, and then I told him, I said, "But okay, no shooting, but tell the sailors we'll issue an order that the thing has to be caged." Yeah.
Did they cage it?
I don't know.
Well, where was this now?
On ADAC.
ADAC. Holy smoke. Well, to get back to Governor Parks, he, as I recall, he was governor from 1925 to 1933, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
And when I
he lived in the McKinnon Apartments ever since he bought the damn place in rent, I think, by this time.
Yeah.
He moved from the mansion over there, and he's been there ever since, practically in the same apartment.
Well, they built, when were the apartments built? About
1925. 26.
They moved in 26, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
When we came home.
Yeah, Canada. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Now, are they, do you own the McKinnon Apartments?
No.
It's the same, it's your father's
yeah,
name.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's right. And no, our Skip children all own it.
I see.
Because his cousin. Donald's oldest boy, yeah.
It's, in other words...
It's in the family, though.
It's in the family, yeah. They're buying it with rent. Mm-hmm. You can't give it to them, because if they ever sell it, then they'd lose everything with their income tax,
yeah,
the long-term gain.
But it's still in the McKinnon family.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Skip and...
Well, I was asking Governor Parks if he... Let's see, it was not this year, but... Year past when they had the 50th anniversary of the dragging of the Golden Spike, and I knew that he was with the Department of Interior in Alaska. I said, well, were you in Nenana at the time that President Harding came up for the dragging of the Golden Spike? He said, well, as a matter of fact, I went to Tacoma and met him and traveled with him. And uh-huh. He was then I said, well, what were you in an official capacity? And he said, well, I was the head Department of Interior man for Alaska.
Yeah.
And he traveled with the president up, you know. And I felt kind of foolish, but he has an amazing
he has
life
all
in Alaska.
He'll name names in my gully that
I was talking about Valdez, and he could remember George Hazlett, who went over and staked the where Valdez is now, the new Valdez town site, but they had Hazlett went in there in like 1898 or so with the meals.
We staked out all the streets in Anchorage too. George did.
George did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And his crew went in and surveyed the town of Anchorage.
That's right.
Before
That's
there right. was a town of Anchorage.
Well, they did a wonderful job. The streets are real wide to start
it
with.
It is, yeah. I wish you'd staked out Fairbanks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
How about Juno? You're not bad off to we are.
Well, both Fairbanks and Juno just sort of grew. The streets just sort
of that's
evolved.
Right.
But Anchorage had wide streets to start with.
See, all we had was horse and wagon. And not too damn many of them.
Well, what other real old-timers are there left in Juno other than George Parks?
Well, you mentioned the
Skews
boys.
Yeah,
Charlie and George.
Well, Larry McKechnie.
Charlie was in our high school class, and George is older than Charlie.
A man by the name of...
I think they were born here. I'm not sure.
Larry McKechnie.
Larry McKechnie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, Wayno Henderson's brother, older brother, is still living here. That's... Arnett, or the Indian nickname is Ishan Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
But he's damn near blind, and...
Wayno is getting quite...
he's damn near blind.
Well, this one is getting more senile than Wayno, even. We always called him Wayno. She put the Wayno on it. When he was acting governor for a while, she couldn't stand the Wino, Wino business, but that was the way the Finns pronounced it.
Have you talked to Wino?
No. Mm-hmm.
He's had a wonderful past, too.
He's living in Anchorage now, isn't he?
Yeah.
He could give you some good stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he wasn't even at the Sitka Pioneers.
Not this year.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Palmer the year before, but he wasn't at Sitka this year.
No.
I kind of looked for him, but I didn't see him. Mm-hmm.
Sig Wohl didn't make it either, did he? For the first
time. He was planning to. My husband and I saw him the night before I came. We were having dinner at the same place he was with his daughter, and she said that somebody just about has to go with Sig now because he forgets.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
You know, he knows that he's supposed to go to... to dinner at somebody's house on Thursday. Well, he may show up on Monday. or he may come Friday, he just kind of forgets.
His memory.
But he can recall some of the grandest stories, and he still remembers all of his songs.
Yeah.
Oh, brother.
Quite a singer.
Yeah.
He'd repeat, though. He'd sing the same songs over and over again.
I just read about 40 pages of this.
Noel Ween.
How did Noel lose his eye?
I don't know. It must be. I haven't got to that yet.
Oh,
it must be a plane accident of some kind.
Did you meet Herbert Hoover Jr. at Pittsburgh? He's in charge.
No, my husband knew him, but he left up there before I went up.
He used to come to First National Bank. Mm-hmm. I met him. He's real nice, but shy, very poor hearing too.
I bought a Rusty Herlene painting from him. Rusty had painted an oil rig, the topographic oil rig.
Yeah.
And it's a real dark winter, you know, up in the Arctic, there's no sun.
No.
And it was a dark winter scene. Just had an opening in the clouds with some light on the clouds.
Uh-huh.
Did you know Ted Matthews?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, Ted Matthews had been out to Pasadena, and he stopped in to see Herbert Hoover Jr. He moved the painting from his office to his home, and he asked him about it. Well, I had seen it when Rusty painted it, because it was a beautiful oil painting, I thought.
Yeah.
And of course, you have to live up in the Arctic to appreciate that. No sun, you know, for about two months. And Ted Matthews said that Hoover took it home because it was such a cold painting that nobody appreciated it there in Pasadena.
No, they wouldn't.
So I wrote to him and asked him if he ever wanted to sell it, would he consider selling it to me? Because, you know, I had seen it, and Jim had seen it, how much we liked it. And I got a letter back from him, and he knew Jim real well. And he said, yeah, he would.
How nice.
So I've got it for Jim for Christmas. Oh, or no, for his birthday.
Oh, wonderful. When's his birthday?
January. Well, that was years ago. It's worth thousands of dollars now.
Sure.
Those Herlenes are worth a lot of money.
Did you get a good buy on it?
I told him to put out whatever price he wanted.
Uh-huh.
And he said, when I got the letter back, he said, I'll sell it to you for what I paid Rusty for it.
Oh, how wonderful.
Which was $250.
Oh, you were
my
God. You got a real
So I bought that in 1955, I think around Christmas of 55, and gave it to Jim for birthday
in
January
of
56. Oh, and Hoover packed it up and sent it air freight, paid the air freight on it.
Yeah.
So I tried to repay him for that, and he wouldn't even take it.
Yeah.
He said, no, he knew Jim, and he said he knew that.
Yes,
somebody
remembered you too.
I think I met him, but I didn't know him.
No.
But he said that he'd rather have it in Alaska with somebody who really appreciated it than down there in his Pasadena home where nobody but he appreciated it. And he thought that was really nice of him.
Yeah.
He's a very nice person. He was Secretary of State, too, or Assistant Secretary of State under Truman.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Very quiet man.
Yeah,
I think it's because of his hearing.
Mm-hmm.
He lost it when he was quite young.
Mm-hmm.
Is he still alive?
No.
Seems to me
he died. He died about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm glad I have the painting now,
because no one else
in the family would have appreciated it. Because none of them had been to Alaska.
No.
I mean, his family had never lived here.
Well, his father's gone too, isn't he?
But he had spent quite a few seasons up in the Arctic.
Yeah.
In the early days. But tell me some more about Governor Parks. He's real reluctant to tape anything, and I'd like to get some more of his history. He worked for the Department of Interior.
Oh, yeah, he was head of the Department of...
For the whole state, or territory.
Yeah, see, when World War I broke out, of course, he went in the Army, and though I don't believe he ever got... Well, like many others, you go where you're told to go anyway, and he never did get to Europe. But shortly after he got out, I think he was a great friend of Secretary Works. then Secretary of the Interior. And he was the one, I think, now don't say this is true, but I think it was through his friendship for Works that he was appointed governor of Alaska. And that lasted, as I say, your mama said, until 33. And
so he must have been appointed by what, President Coolidge? Would have been Coolidge?
That'd be Coolidge, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. Mm-hmm.
I think so. And the... I can't tell you much more. He was a member of the golf club here.
Yeah, right.
And a million-dollar golf course.
Yeah, a million-dollar golf course.
In the tailings.
No, and that, of course, if you only could get... what I've often wanted to do is, with a recorder like that, get George to reminisce.
But he you could do it, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
That's why I think we're one of the few friends that he has left that he can reminisce. We can go back 50 years and talk with
him. If you could do it, it would be, you'd really be doing a favor. Yeah. You know, what he's afraid of is that maybe somebody would... exploit it,
yeah.
Or use it some way.
Yeah. Well,
but if somebody could do it, you know, even if he'd let me do it,
yeah.
We could just put a restriction on the tape, or just put it away in a vault for 10 years or something. So nothing to embarrass him. But
because
he has a tremendous recall.
Historically, it's you can't replace it anyway. And there's so many incidents, you know, that. Well, he just tell you, well, I was on the trail out from on the old Iditarod trail, you know, coming out through the headwaters of Knickarm there, mm-hmm. and coming down there. And he said, I've been so and so and so and so. And he said, oh, you going? Where are you going? Well, I'm going to Sword.
Yeah, with a dog team.
Yeah, and well, he said, God darn it, he said, I got, I got so many $100 in gold dust here. And he said, damn, I'd like to get it out of the safe. Well, he said, give it to me and I'll take it out too. And it passed hands. Nobody knew a damn thing about it.
No receipts, no nothing.
And he, in his pack sack, and there it was thrown down on the floor and on the various roadhouses. And he finally ended up in Seward. And he said, oh, by golly, I got...
some gold dust.
Gold dust. I think it's $500 or something. But, the one I really liked me more than anything was there at Circle. Apparently, in coming over from the old country with some of these impossible names you get over there, you know, for spelling, this fellow says, oh, you're from now on, you're so-and-so. And that's the way it went on for years. And... he finally ended up, a roadhouse there, Circle, the only one there. The old roadhouse, you know, they used to be there, they were the mail drops, and
right.
They just have a bunch of cubby holes you put them in. And that's what he'd do. He'd get some mail, he'd put this, that, and the other thing put away. And along came the postal inspector. And it happened the same time, of course, the mailman came in with the sack of mail, which he threw down there. And when he distributed it, he stuck it in these puppy cubby holes and went on about his business. And you could see this fellow was fidgeting around all the time, you know. Not liking what he saw at all in guarding the U.S. mail. And finally this fellow said, you know, he said, I just sort of take it. You don't like the way I handle this post office. He says, as a matter of fact, I don't. You know, so blank and this, that, and the other. You can't do that. Well, he says, I'll tell you another thing. I don't like your goddamn post office. Now you take it and have somebody else do it the way they want it done.
Yeah.
But they had to leave it right where it was.
Because the only place
you could leave it, yeah. He knows this man, the names and all that.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah, I was telling you that since I saw him in the spring, I hiked the Chilkoot, a couple friends of mine.
Oh, you did?
And then my husband joined us at Lake Bennett.
Uh-huh.
We went down Lake Bennett and Tagish and...
Uh-huh.
And he was kind of interested in that and wondered how we went. And I said, I suppose you've been over that route. I know he's been over that route a lot of times.
Yes.
They started recalling about how they had to take a rock out of the river at a certain spot. And he said, I think they even took out one of the islands there in Five Finger Rapids. And
oh, yeah, that's a bad rock there. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he must have, he's seen a lot of history in Alaska.
Yes, indeed. No, the
getting flour over here.
What are you knitting there?
Oh, I have a friend who has very cold feet, and she wants me to knit her some bed socks. So I'm doing the damnedest. I don't know what they're going to be like.
You ought to see the baby socks that she's done. That's heck, she's got dozens of them.
The babies
I haven't knit one since we were on our Canadian trip.
You haven't. Hey.
But my stockpile is getting off.
Are you the people who went with the
Yeah, we had
tell
a wonderful
me,
trip.
Yeah, tell me about that. You went from here to White Horse?
Oh, yeah. No, we went, White Horse, and then from there to Inuvik.
I don't know.
To Inuvik?
Yeah, and then...
You flew to Inuvik?
Yes, yes. And then up the river to Hay River.
What kind of boat did you go in?
Oh, lovely. Yeah,
nice boat.
Is it a pleasure boat, tourist boat?
It was tourist only.
15 passenger boat.
I imagine they could take about what, say, 20 would be top.
No, not that many. Only.
I think it was only 16.
10 or 11, wasn't it?
I know.
Well, that's all that were on our trip.
On the other side, you know, there were tables on the other side.
That's right.
Well, we were on the water a whole week. It was just beautiful. Mm-hmm. We took in the whole Mackenzie River, 1,000 miles.
Holy smokes.
From Inuvik to Hay River. The whole length of the river.
I'd love to do that.
Oh, it's a marvelous. I think you'd have a wonderful time on it.
I know I would.
Yeah. Don't you think she would?
I don't have any desire to go any place on, you know, to go to Hawaii or someplace for vacation.
Oh,
I just
the birds. That's
I just prefer to travel in Alaska.
You know, the well.
And then we flew up to from Inuvik. We flew up to what's the name?
Yellowknife.
Tuktoyaktuk.
Way up in the Barents Sea. It's
as far as you can go.
Further, I guess in that area, in that particular area, further snort oil.
Buford Sea. Yeah. You'd love that trip.
Yeah.
I think you're the type that would really enjoy it.
Well, where do you go to get it? Does it someone at White Horse arrange it?
Well, you'll have to give her the name of the captain that owns it.
You just knew the person who ran it
from Hay River.
Yeah, and I don't. Where in the devil would I have it? So we went to a travel agency in Mrs.
Seattle.
Stang in Seattle.
Oh, I see.
She had
a hell of a time arranging it.
Yeah, she did. But,
I think Hazel has the address.
Yeah.
Anybody in Hay River, Chamber of Commerce,
To Hay River.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
I think that'd be the easiest, right to the captain.
Do you remember the name of the boat?
For
the captain?
I think I got something here.
What is it now?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, do you know the name?
Well, it's stationary from the Hay River.
Oh, well, that's all you need.
What's the name of the boat?
What was the name of that
Norwegian.
Boat?
Norwegian.
Norwegian.
Don't you think Dale would Mike would have a good time on that?
Well, I think so.
Because she writes, you know. She gets all kinds of... Stories from the different people.
I'll just write it down because somebody else will want it, and then you'll say, oh, I gave it to that.
I didn't even know I had it till the other day.
Okay, well, let me just write it down in this other thing.
Write directly to the captain.
Is his name on Nammet?
Well, I don't know. It's a French, kind of a French name.
Yeah, it is, and Nammet.
No,
It's on. It must be on there.
Mackenzie River.
It's not on that. On
cruises.
His name was Tarault. T-E-R-A-U-L-T.
I think it was Tarault.
Yeah, French
name. Like that. Dr. Captain, tell him we.
I may have that brochure.
Recommended that trip, and you'd have a wonderful time.
You know, maybe I can trick my husband into going on that next year. I had to trick him into going on this Yukon trip this summer.
Norwegian woman on there.
I think the right time of the year to go. You know, she went again this year.
Yes. Third time.
The third time, but I think she got a free trip this time. She raised that hell about last time. You remember? She was one of.
Well, we went in October about their last trip. She'll go earlier.
I think she got a free trip, and she had a friend from Sweden come over to go with her.
No.
Whether she paid for the Swedish trip. I think she got a free trip. I know she did.
We weren't cold at all. It was nice. It was unusual.
Oh, she's quite the gal.
That's her third time.
Yeah. I'll just do that. Jim has been over into Canada, you know, on the Dew Line, or lots of times he's flown over into Canada, but I've never been over there.
Yeah.
And
The only thing I'm disappointed in, I would have never known I was on a river.
That's right.
It was so goddamn big. Yeah. And you couldn't see any running water anyplace. No. You were running with it, or against it, I don't know which.
Yeah. And the weather happened to be just perfect.
We have wonderful weather.
Time of year.
Yeah, October, they usually have snow.
She said they had. We had a card from her, and she was in Fort Simpson or something. She says ice and snow here.
Yeah.
What time of year did she go?
Just now.
Oh, kind of late.
I think she had the last trip.
I'd go earlier when they just started.
We should have gone in last of July or August.
They were tying up things, you know, for the last trip. They don't care so much.
Well, your husband probably been into Yellowknife then, hadn't he?
I don't think he's been to Yellowknife.
Oh.
Well, we flew into
it. He might have been.
A lot of the Fairbanks people have been going in there.
Yeah, but I don't think Jim's been over there. But this will give me something to plot for next year.
Oh, well, take your recorder and your camera. I think you'll have a ball.
Norwetta.
You'll meet a lot of characters on the boat.
No characters. We wasn't characters where we ain't.
Well, you'd have had the Hayes Boy Sam.
I bet you had a good time.
And I was a stick in the mud.
And your liquor. Oh, my, the Canadian liquor was cheap.
I was really sick.
Pay $20 and they give you, how many drinks?
20 30. Tickets?
30 drinks, wasn't it?
20.
For $20.
Oh, really?
And the best Canadian liquor, you just help yourself.
Now, there's our travel service.
Passport to Adventure.
I'd write direct to the captain and tell him we recommended the trip. You know, that might help.
Yeah, might help. Because we're kind of in the doghouse now, I guess.
On what for?
No. I say we're not. No.
No, we're not. No.
No. Well, I tell you, there were certain things about it. It was you might say the last trip in the season, and Bob can answer the same thing. We knew that there were certain things about it that they didn't realize that there were things that were going on, and I just wrote and told them that I was the captain in the U.S. Navy, which is dry, but that one thing that is never even tolerated under any condition is drinking while underway. And about some of the help.
Oh, help, yeah.
Yeah, this is all help. This had nothing to do with the the owner.
Yeah.
And so that it got him, did he raise hell? He fired about half of them.
It'll be real, a lot better now. And I think the earlier trips would be
better. It was my fault. I took too late in the season.
Well, we were lucky at that.
Oh, yeah.
The weather was perfect.
Yeah. Oh,
Jesus.
God, yeah.
It was like a great idea.
But I think Mike is just the type of person that would get a lot out of it.
Then from Yellowknife, you flew back to Whitehorse?
Yeah, from Yellowknife.
No, you went to Hay River.
Oh, you go as far as Hay River. Then your trip is finished. And Bob and I flew to Yellowknife. And then where did you went to Edmonton.
We went to Edmonton. And from there we flew back But it was quite a roundabout way, up the Peace River Valley,
yeah.
And
more
or less looking the things over.
I'll write to and get there.
No, then you can't take that with you.
No, I'll write to and get it, because you want to...
No,
I... You work on the souvenir keepers.
They were talking about getting
know.
The new vault tour.
Yeah, they were, yes.
I'm a junky person, and I had it thrown in a drawer with some junk. I ran across it the other day. Or it had been in the souvenir file by now.
Well, it's different. And it's...
He says about 1,000 miles.
Kind of primitive, yeah. 1,000 miles.
Yeah, the,
wasn't that whole 1,000 miles?
I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah, it covered the whole... Yeah. There was a lot of oil activity. You can see the rise of it.
Oh, it's a revelation.
Yes. See how vast the Northwest Territory is. It's huge. It's a lot bigger than Alaska. Isn't it 3 times as big as Alaska?
And, okay, and the ignorance on our part as to what they have. Of course, they're just as ignorant on their part as what we have. But, I mean, my ignorance was terrible. My God, here. I tell you, the trip alone would be to Inuvik would be worthwhile, just to see how they've got around the permafrost.
Now we stayed at the Mackenzie Hotel, I think the other one's the better.
Oh, but
there's another
You're
hotel.
Right.
You better stay at the other hotel.
Yeah.
The Eskimo Hotel.
Stay at the Eskimo Hotel. It's a newer hotel, and it has better food and everything.
I've never been to Inuvik, but quite a few, maybe 3 or 4 times a year, there's a charter that goes from Fairbanks.
Yeah.
The Lions Club goes over there, and the Curlers go over.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Usually,
sure, yeah,
you
would.
And one of these times, I'm just going to go.
It's quite a town.
Only way to get there is to go on a charter trip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you go to White Horse and then work your way up.
From Fairbanks, yes.
Would she think I'm crazy if I throw her one of these zipper pole things?
Oh, she'd love it. That's when your husband isn't home and you need somebody to zip up your clothes in the back.
What is that?
Well, they're wonderful.
That's great.
A friend who went to college with me, a San Francisco girl. Oh my God, she died and left $1.5 million. Did you know that?
Did she leave that?
$1,800,000.
Who?
Mary Corbis.
She did.
We took a
That's what the kids got here now.
That's what the
Alaska Life Company
went to this kid, probably. Yeah. No, she'd have to give it by law or something. I know she left some to godchildren and things like that.
Yeah.
She'd have to give a relative something by law, but this one got most of it.
Yeah.
But anyhow, she came to me and brought me some linen thread. She said, you can crochet, I know you can. And I said, yes. Well, she says, I can't get a zipper thing to pull up my clothes with. You know why? Some goddamn man invented it, and they puts a pin in the thing that's big enough to go in a man's pants zipper, and it won't go in any women's clothes zippers. I finally figured that out because Pearl Peterson the other day came to me. She had one of these fancy gadgets she paid $3 or $4 for.
And it didn't work?
Would you know I can't use it? And I said, took one look at it, and I said, sure, I know, some damn man invented that, and he didn't figure out the size of the pin or this.
Made for a man's
zipper. It made for a man's pants zipper or something.
The man doesn't need it.
So I've been making them by the hundreds.
Pants backwards.
Like a priest, you mean.
And Governor Parks mentioned about the harem he's got up there.
Yeah.
He has a lot of women.
Well, that's great that he has a lot of people looking
Lots
in
on him. Bob sees him every day,
I go there at least every time I go uptown.
Yeah.
I go there. I get off at the bank and run over.
You call him about once a day.
Yeah.
I think he really enjoys having.
I felt
that he really enjoyed.
I'd go insane if I had that many people coming in every day.
Yeah. Could I buy you people a drink?
Sounds like a good idea.
Bourbon or scotch?
Scotch.
Well, I know what you want, and I know what you want.
Bourbon. Yeah. Love scotch. Well, that's unusual for a lady.
Yeah.
You know, most women drink bourbon.
Oh, I don't like bourbon.
I've tried scotch, and I don't like scotch.
Tell me, Dan. Before you go help me.
I better go help
you.
You don't need
So, then he got the idea. He copied every picture he could get a hold of, or every identifiable picture.
Is that right?
And he's
he photographed
in his own dark room. Dark room in here, and up at our old home, which we sold. He and Bob DeArmond worked together, more or less, on the picture. And Bob went one way, and he went the story way, and Papa went the historical way. Anything you could identify.
Yeah.
And he's given over 6,000. First to the museum, and then they decided that was the wrong place for them. They should go in the historical library because they were more for research. And so we came home last April from a short trip, and since then he's made all those albums in there. I think about 600
is
there in the hall for the family, the kids. Our grandchildren.
Marvelous.
And he says, if the damn kids don't want them, I'll give them to the University of Alaska.
You know, I just got a letter from Bob DeArmond not too long ago, because he's been hoping someone would put together a history on my husband's father, and I've stopped visiting with him. I got a letter from him about 2 weeks ago, and he said that someone from outside had sent him some material, and it had a picture of Jack Dalton and the porcupine, mine, up out of Haines. And this person sent the picture, had a picture of Jack Dalton with his first wife.
Mm-hmm. I believe Jack Dalton. He used to come, before there were any hotels, you know, like a funny old building downtown with a tower on it.
Mm-hmm. Right down on Franklin Street?
Right down on Franklin.
Where Mary Joyce lives?
No, this way.
Uh-huh.
Mary Joyce doesn't. Does she live there?
She lives up above the Lucky Lady. I think it's in that.
Oh, no, it's across the street.
Across the street,
and it has a crazy, well, it's in that paper you've got. That I just gave you. It's a picture of it in there. My dad built that in 1901, and we had what we'd call an apartment, living quarters there, and 10 extra rooms. There was no hotel except one that Sim was born in, and that was getting to be pretty shoddy. So Dad put 10 rooms up there to rent, and all these young mining engineers and geodetic survey guys, especially the surveyors, that would be gone all summer. Well, they kept the room by the year there.
I saw a little juice on the bottom of the cup today. Where are those napkins?
There, okay.
Oh, I'll find napkins.
What are you going to have?
A little bit of sherry, please.
A little sherry.
Uh-huh. Did you remember Jack Dalton?
Yeah.
He used to come stay at our house.
I can just remember, vaguely see him. I think he had he wouldn't probably have a beard when he came out from the interior.
Over there.
A real nice
goatee.
Yeah, my God, don't forget her.
But a very short beard. I don't know how else to describe him. He's a darn good looking man. He and my dad were quite good pals. They'd always get together and reminisce whenever he came to town.
Jack Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
Was he a doctor?
Whether he's one you're talking, I don't know. Whether the old of the Dalton Trail.
Yeah, my husband's father. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, there's a Dalton here.
He's a doctor.
No relation.
No relation.
No, I don't think so.
That's all she gets.
But anyway, Bob DeArmond wrote me a note, said this woman had sent some pictures of her.
That's all you get.
Father.
That's all I need.
Porcupine Creek, which is north of Haines, up the Chilkat.
Yeah. See, I've been around here before.
Yeah.
Where was your husband born?
He should have been born in Cordova, but his mother went out to Seattle when he was to have
Alaskans.
Lifelong.
Yeah. Jim?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I knew he was a long time.
No, his folks lived at Cordova.
Oh.
See, his father helped survey that Copper River Railroad.
Yeah.
And then he owned some property in Cordova, and they had some big legal battle with the Guggenheims, and the Guggenheims finally bought him out. I guess he owned the property where they wanted to put the railroad to.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, he sold out to them, made quite a good size.
Well, here's happy days. Yeah.
Happy days.
Lots of happiness.
You know, Mary Corbis should have been born here, but her mother went to San Francisco to have her.
Same with Bob Bartlett. He was not born in Alaska. His mother went outside. So Jim feels kind of badly that he wasn't born in Alaska, but I said, well, Bartlett wasn't either, so.
Yeah.
A lot of good people wasn't.
There wasn't much he could do about it.
One thing I think you should have, where Jim was appointed by the governor as one of the commissioners of the police.
Territorial police.
And he and the commission was responsible for appointing the first superintendent of territorial police, and that was me.
Yeah.
You were in there.
Yeah, yeah, that's very.
Yeah.
That was a very momentous day.
I really had a real fine. Yeah.
Well, E.B. Collins.
I tell you, I read it.
E.B. Collins, Jerry Williams, you, and.
Who was that man from?
I was trying to remember it.
Irving Reed?
Irving McKay Reed.
No, he was the engineer. The one from Anchorage.
Oh, Wilbur.
He's in the bank up there in Anchorage.
Very wealthy.
Reed.
Frank Reed. Frank Reed. No, he was my assistant.
His son.
The aviator. Reed Airlines.
No. What?
Was that later?
No, that was like later.
No, you had Reed. It was Reed.
He was, I tell you, he passed on the loans in restaurants and
banks.
Healy.
That's right.
Bill Healy. Did you know him?
No.
He was in the Marshall's office.
How you pull things out of your hat.
I thought Reed was one of them, too.
Okay, so it was Healy and who else?
E.B. Collins from Fairbanks.
And
Jerry Williams, the Attorney General.
And Sim McKinnon, and wasn't Earl Hunter one of them?
No, later.
Later.
Dewey Baker. The guy that died here.
Dewey Baker?
He was later.
No,
afterwards again.
No, it's...
Well, how many were there?
It used to be on the... on the road commission up there, you know.
McDonald?
No.
Where? Irving McKay Reed?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, Irving McKay Reed.
Oh, yeah, he was the engineer then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was our neighbor. When we moved up where we built, he and Eleanor were just about our closest neighbors. They're about a mile and a half away.
Yeah. She died, too, here just recently.
She was painted her home.
She did a lot of painting, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
And her husband wouldn't sell any of her paintings. They were all over that place.
Was you ever in their home?
Oh, yeah, lots of times. I used to stop in there we'd stop in every once in a while just to kind of check up on them.
They were getting
up in age, you know, and they insisted on staying out there.
So
we'd stop by every once in a while, and maybe on a cold night, they liked to go to pioneer meetings.
They loved that.
I'd stop and pick them up and drive them in because it was easier for me. We had a heated garage. A lot easier for me to pick them up. he was a real fine person.
Before she died, she was very artistic.
Very odd.
Artistic lady.
A little bit forgetful.
Yeah.
And she had a severe case of diabetes, you know. So
she had that
right
for a
at
long
the end,
time.
She just got quite forgetful.
Yeah. He was so good to her.
Yeah.
He just idolized her. And I remember the place was just packed with her pictures. Every wall was covered with her
pictures. They had some very, very nice things that they collected from, little artifacts. And of course, he wasn't born in Nome, as I recall. I think he went to Nome when he was about 10 years old. Gold Rush.
His dad was a judge up there.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think his dad was a judge here in the state territory.
Sophie Smith.
The Reed we had here.
Maybe it was here. That was his dad.
I was trying to remember if that's the that later on married
Venetia Pugh. Anisha was your lady, as well as the young one. Her daughter was Anisha.
And to think of it, by gosh, Sam, I believe it is his dad that is judge here.
There was a Judge Reed here.
Yeah, I think it's the same one.
But I didn't know that he had a son that age.
I don't know anything.
He was the one who went down on the Sophia.
Oh.
His father?
Yeah.
Oh, honey, you're talking about Mr. Pugh now.
Oh, wait a minute. Pugh, yeah, that's right, yeah, that's right, yeah.
And
they
don't
want
anything.
Yeah, his own grandchildren.
Yeah.
So,
thank God for the grandchildren, huh?
Yeah, well, it made me very...
I'm going to be great-grandma Christmas.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, Christmas.
Christmas
Eve or Christmas Day.
Well, I hope it's Christmas
you're
Day.
You're starting the young age. Heck, oh, she's got three great-grandchildren.
Yeah, I know. You're way ahead of us.
You started earlier.
You had mine.
Maybe you had more working at it. Did you have more
I worked harder at it. No. Maybe, I don't know.
Well, the
oldest is 5, so maybe 10 years I'll be a great great.
Is it picture? It's just a picture of the gravestone.
Yeah.
Well, you're
getting right on it, right at home.
It didn't take you long to find it, did it?
Oh,
I see. That it's a big, big. Wow, somebody put up the money, huh?
Probably is the cross. Just bereaved widow.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
Now, is he buried here in Juneau?
Well, it must be Juneau.
It shows the grave, but it was up on top of the hill, and I doubt if anyone could ever find it.
Oh, it's probably gone by now, but that looks like it's well taken care of.
You know, I got a letter from Bob DeArmond not too long ago, Sam. And he said that some woman had sent him some stuff from outside on her father or some relative who had been up at the Porcupine.
Oh, yeah.
The mining operation up there above Haines. And he said that DeArmond knows that, you know, someday I'd like to, if I have the time, do some research and do kind of a history on Dalton.
Yeah.
And he said that In that, there was a picture of Jack Dalton and his wife. And he thinks it's his first wife. God only knows how many wives.
I know for why he was married to a Cloutier, too. I know that.
Well, that's 4, then. Yeah. That's what I know about. I told Jim he's only had one wife. He's really... He's just not very good.
No, it's...
One was he was married to somebody over in Sitka when he was
right
there. Now she was part Russian and part Tlingit, I think.
Yeah, I think that's what I call a Klutch, you see, or Indian.
Yeah. Now there's a Dalton family, a southeastern Indian Dalton family from not Lawak or someplace. I met some guy named Richard Dalton, and I'll just bet you it's part of the
but you know there with this tracing through the mother, by golly, I tell you right now, that's lost right now. If now there's a friend of ours here now, Marie
Engelberg.
Now
Annenberg.
She said, oh boy, she said, I wish I knew my grandmother. She doesn't, going through the mothers have married several times, the brothers have split up, they never marry in the same town, they have to go to...
And some don't even marry.
Yeah, that's right. So,
Did you know this, Dalton?
No, God, no, 1893.
Well, he was in and out of here... He left, Jim was born in 1913, and then they lived in Alaska, they were up in Cordova.
Oh yeah, they're old timers.
And didn't leave until, I don't know when they left. Jim went to school outside for a while, and then he came back up and finished school at the university. There's somebody here in Juneau whose father was on the white path.